News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now we are joined by the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin, day two of his party's thinking in Malahide. Micheál Martin, thanks indeed for talking to us. Let's start with the Scally report. A straight question on this, and a straightforward question on this. If Dr. Scally is saying, in his view, there is no need for a public inquiry, will you accept that opinion?
Well, first of all, I have to read the report, Shane. I haven't read the report.
I will
be informed by the report.
Yeah,
in terms of my response.
If you just listen to my question, I said, if Dr. Scally says, in his view, there is no need for a public inquiry, will you accept that opinion?
I may not accept that opinion because I need to read the report. I think it's only fair to say I need to read the report in its entirety.
Of course, absolutely.
I think you have to accept that's fair because I think the whole leak really was designed for you to ask that question. I know you didn't do it, but you get my point. The whole leak by the government of that aspect of Dr. Scally's conclusion was designed to get everyone talking about whether there'll be a commission or not. It's the government committed to a commission early on. I was prepared to accept a HICRA-led inquiry of the kind that Dr. Scally left. There was uproar in the Dáil, as you recall, that Minister caved in on the floor of the House and said we'd have a commission of inquiry. No, I will genuinely be guided by the opinion of Dr. Scally. But I am anxious to find out in terms of the quality and the nature of what happened in the labs themselves in relation to specific misreadings or misdiagnoses of
I'm not sure this
cancer.
Report will do that. There seems to be a separate...
Point, and therefore you may need a commission on that. That's my point. And I think and there is further work being done separately on that. We were promised that would be concluded months ago, but that's only still underway in terms of checking how certain lab results went so wrong, because it's not just false negatives we're talking about here, and we accept there has always been and always in that type of model of cervical cancer screening be false negatives. But in some instances, as we know in terms of Vicky Phelan's case and Emma McFahuna and others, that it was much more than false negatives. It was just completely wrong analysis.
Although Dr. Scally, if we are to believe the leaks, Dr. Scally does say that he believes that the labs are doing a good job in the main.
Look, the labs have diagnosed 50,000 cancers. The cervical screening program has saved lives. And up to 50,000 cancers were detected, or precancerous situations were detected. So there is, of course, but I'm just talking about in the specific cases where, and we have to be very vigilant here, and I think it's the women of Ireland deserve that type of question is asked and that we find out more about it. But of course, we're in the very unsatisfactory position that we don't have a copy of the report, and it gets leaked. And as I described it yesterday, it was a cruel and cynical leak. I think the minister.
Where do you believe that leak came from?
I think it came from government, because I think otherwise we need to be told who got copies of the report, who could possibly have leaked it, and the minister needs to say out clearly to whom he gave access to the report. We believe it was sent to the Attorney General. Was it sent to the Taoiseach? Did the Taoiseach speak to any of his ministers, or did the minister speak to any of his ministers? And have they, barring that, we have to have come to the conclusion, because it was in the possession of the government that was leaked. And it seems that one aspect, the critical aspect, seems to have been around the Commission of Inquiry, and the sense is around that was designed to move people off or to prepare the ground for the avoidance of the Commission
except
of Inquiry.
It doesn't show the government in a very good light, because they've been left looking stupid by this, because they promised a commission of a commission of inquiry, and now Dr. Scally is saying in his view...
Yeah, but is the government preparing the ground to move away from its promise on a commission of inquiry? Is that what the leak was designed to do?
Would it be so bad?
Last week, Shane, around the labs looking out for indemnity, because you made a point earlier there about the government rushing and making commitments and promises and so on. One was on the litigation and indemnity, which doesn't seem to have been worked out properly or thought through properly, and people have ended up in the courts since. But now, apparently, from leaks again, and we don't know this fully, that the companies apparently are now seeking full indemnity from the state. And so suddenly you arrive at a situation where the entire program could be in jeopardy. And all of this has been leaked over the last 10 days. And maybe it's all about trying to create a climate or of opinion which will move away from the Commission of Inquiry and into a new direction. I don't know.
Would it be so bad if that was to happen?
Well, I'd like to read the entirety of Dr. Skye's report. I believe he has done a comprehensive piece of work. I'd like to hear what the victims have to say, the families involved here in terms of their analysis. That would be important. And also, clearly, the future of the program itself is very important.
Do you believe, and I'm not accusing,
to save lives, and
I'm not accusing you of this, but do you believe that people in the opposition use these women to make political capital?
No, I think that's too strong. I think there were elements of where...
Is it? There was inaccuracies being peddled by members of the opposition?
Say that there were certain inaccuracies peddled. There was inaccuracies peddled to try and score political points all over the place without any solid studied work being done. But remember, why was that? Why did that happen? It happened because in the immediate aftermath of the revelations around the cervical cancer scandal, in terms of the non-revealing to the families of the misdiagnosis and the misreadings, the Department of Health, the Minister, were very slow off the mark. So, for example, we know, let's go back to the Public Accounts Committee, let's go back to the Health Committee. It's they who discovered all of the documentation that revealed that everybody knew within the department and the HSA about this.
Let's move on to other issues, Micheál Martin. The discussions have begun between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in relation to the upcoming budget. Wouldn't it be an extraordinary statement of intent from Fianna Fáil, instead of talking about spending money here, spending money there, tax cuts, pension increases, if Fianna Fáil were to say, we've had 6 years of an economic boom now, we have learned the mistakes of the past, what we actually need to do is follow the advice of the watchdog, follow the advice of the Governor and Central Bank, and move to a surplus to save for a rainy day. You're not doing that.
Well, to be fair, we are sticking with the fiscal parameters and guidelines that have been set down by both the government and others, and we're not, for example, proposing an extra $1.5 billion that Sinn Féin are proposing in terms of the forthcoming budget. So you're looking at a very marginal and negligible deficit next year.
After 6 years of a boom. Like, we're the only, and this point was made by the Fiscal Council, we're the only small country in Europe running a deficit at this stage, and we have had 6 years of economic growth.
Yeah, and we will be in the discussions on the budget, putting those issues to the government, and also looking at the potential risks to the economy, not just from Brexit, but external factors as well. But I think we have been responsible on the budget now, Shane, compared to other demands, and we are in opposition, but we are facilitating the continuation of this government on the basis of a budgetary policy that's strictly in parameters with EU Council guidelines, ECB guidelines, and I think, to be fair, I think we've behaved in a very fiscally responsible way over the last 2 to 3 years, and we'll continue to do that. But that said, we do believe housing and health are the two key issues that do need to be addressed. And people cannot afford to buy houses. Young working people can't afford to buy houses today. And we're saying that the budget has to mark a definitive switch and shift in policy towards the state becoming involved to directly build houses and for council houses, and then to subsidise housing to such an extent that young people can afford to buy houses.
Okay.
And people generally can buy houses, because in the cities now houses are not affordable.
All right, we know you have a plan, the $200 million affordable housing fund, and I think that has been well covered over the last 24 hours. Just before we let you go, I do want to ask you about the confidence and supply deal with Fine Gael. I'm curious though, what is your relationship, because I think it was surprised a lot of people. You had you actually turned out to have quite a good personal relationship with Enda Kenny under this arrangement. What is your personal relationship like with Leo Varadkar? A lot of people saying it's pretty cold, the relationship between the two of you.
Well, no, it's a different relationship.
And, less good?
I think we, over the last 3 to 4 months, certainly, and I think the Taoiseach's behaviour in the last 2 months to 3 months in particular, where he has created the aura of instability around the government more than anybody else.
Do you trust him?
To be frank with you, given what happened in July and the constant sort of attempts to leak the conduct of the meeting we had in only in one direction. In other words, he saw the July meeting as an opportunity the following day to sort of say, I said the following to Micheál Martin. It's not the way I do business. It's not the way...
Is that a no, then? You don't trust him?
Well, I think I have to be... I'm not naive in my dealings with the Taoiseach. I'll put that with you. And
you soap with a long spoon?
Sorry?
You soap with a long spoon?
Well, I must say that what the distinguishing feature of the Taoiseach and the government seems to be one of self-absorption. It seems to be that everything is through the prism of public relations, through spin, through leaking, and it seems and we can see with the relationship between the British government and the Irish government is very poor. The relationship with unionism very poor, and I can see why. There comes a time when you're in government and when you're dealing with people that you have to deal with them honestly, and you have to deal. If you make agreements at meetings, you stick to them, and you don't spend the next day trying to outmaneuver the person you just spoke to the day before. Now that tends to be
trying to put words in your mouth, but I'm trying to simplify this. That suggests bad faith on the part of the Taoiseach.
Well, I think he is guilty of bad faith over the summer months, in my view, and in the lead up to the summer months, in terms of the whole issue around the confidence and supply, because he was a signatory to agreement. Now, in contrast, I'm focusing on the issues. I've mentioned housing to you. Health is the other big issue for us. We want to get waiting lists down, and people are waiting too long for operations. That's what I'm focusing on. The cost of living for people as well. People are finding it very difficult at the end of
all,
the working
all very
week.
Important issues. No
disrespect, you said all important issues, you don't give me a chance to talk about them.
We have spoken on. We've given you good time. I think the question people really want me to ask just before I go, okay. Micheál, will there be a general election in the next few months, or do you think you can renew this confidence and supply?
Well, I've made it clear there's no need for a general election, certainly before the end of the year, and there's no reason for anybody to be looking over their shoulders week to week. I've made it clear since last March that we wanted to honour the confidence and supply agreement, negotiate a budget based on housing, health, again some improvements in education, and then we will enter into a review. But in that review, obviously those issues that affect people the most out there, who the cost of keeping a car on the road, the cost of trying to rent for people, trying to get a council house, trying to get an operation in time, trying to get through A&E. Those are the issues that we're focused on. And that's what will form the review of the confidence supply. Because you mentioned about the Taoiseach's approach and so on. He seemed to approach confidence supply just through the prism of Fine Gael's interests and his own interests. There are wider interests across the Dáil and out in the public domain in terms of the issues that they want addressed. And that's where the government should focus.
Okay.